You're listening to Deep Pockets by Investa, a podcast where we feature some of the best traders and business people in the industry to help you grow your finances and pursue your passion. Hey guys, it's me, Renzo, and I'm from the Business Talks. So in this one, it's going to be a bit different because instead of me interviewing people, it's me who's going to be interviewed by Paige Ray Kalimlim, and she started a TV show called Elevate Filipino TV. So I was chosen to be part of this, and in this one, we're going to be talking about the three things that can help you succeed in life and in business. So a quick disclaimer, I'm not, and I wouldn't consider myself a very successful person yet, and in fact, I'm pretty much far from that, but these are the things that speak to my heart. These are the things that I believe can make people succeed, and these are the things that I learned from books, from my mentors, from my experiences in Investagrams. So I hope you guys can learn a thing or two in this episode, and I hope you guys will enjoy this one. So let's start.
Hi, everyone. My name is Paige, and you are watching Elevate Filipino TV. It's the place where you want to be to discover possibilities, unlock your potential, and finally create a life and a business that you love. Joining me today is my dear friend, Renzo Maano. Renzo started investing at the age of 18 and is now managing small private equities. He is also the project head of InvestaLearn. Hi, Renzo. Welcome.
Hi, Paige. Thank you for inviting me here.
Yeah, so Renzo, you know, you have a background in business, finance, and investing. So you're probably very used to talking about numbers, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So in today's conversation, though, we will be talking about the three E's. I've dubbed that as the three E's. Basically, it's the ego, empathy, and education. Mm-hmm. So I know that in our previous conversation, you mentioned that the ego is the enemy. Now, I'm curious, in your definition, ano nga ba yung ego? What is the ego and what role did it play in your journey as an entrepreneur?
All right, so for me, ego is the enemy. It's actually, I got it from a book, Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. And it's one of my favorite books that really spoke to me and which really changed my perspective. So I look at ego in the terms of this philosophy we call stoicism. Mm. So stoicism focuses on things that you can control rather than focusing on things that you can't control, which are beyond your means. So for me, ego isn't really in the sense the psychological ego that Sigmund Freud talks about a lot. But ego is about, I guess, to define it simply, it's overconfidence without the track record or without the experience or without any kind of parang evidence to prove your confidence. Mm-hmm. So if it's not from your experience or from your skills that you have proven, that's not confidence but more on arrogance. Mm-hmm. So ego is the enemy because I noticed a lot of in my life, at least, I can see how ego can really pull me down because it makes me think of a lot of bad things. And ego is always present. So if you read the book, Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday, it's there when you are starting out, when you try to achieve success. Ego is always there when you are at the peak of success, and that's when it's most dangerous because you feel like you're already successful. You feel like you're already there. And then you get very aggressive and very, very mayabang with your decisions. Mm-hmm. And ego is also there at times of failure. So it's very hard to always keep ego in check. So you have to manage your ego. But it's really difficult to know if you have ego or not. So I think that's one of the philosophies that I really try to apply in my life because, yeah, I notice a lot of things hinder me because I have ego.
So I love that first. I love that you admitted that you acknowledge, you know, the side of you that has ego, right? And you're on, you're then, because you're aware of it, you're actually on the lookout to be able to check it in, right? Mm-hmm. So I love actually having difficult conversations with people. And you mentioned that, you know, in times of failure, in times of success, when you're just getting started, or even when you're successful, the ego is present and it has these thoughts, right? So I'm curious, because I'm sure that a lot of the times, you know, what we see on social media is basically the highlight reel, right?
Yes.
No one really shows exactly what's behind the scenes. And sure. Some of that are our thoughts, you know, just like what you said, yung negative thoughts that sometimes the ego presents. So do you mind sharing with us sample, you know, what are some samples of these thoughts that you have that I'm sure a lot of our audience can relate to?
All right. So I guess one good example for me, at least, which I saw how egotistic I am, even though I was trying to like put it into my life now. I don't need ego in my life. There's still some hidden ego within myself, in my work, in my ventures. So I became the head of InvestaLearn. Mm-hmm. I think a few months ago or almost a year ago. And when they made me the head of this project, of course, I was very honored. And sometimes I even felt na I don't deserve it because I'm kind of new in this company. I'm kind of new to the real world. I just graduated and they're making me handle a project that will eventually help educate a lot of Filipinos mm-hmm. into how to invest, how to learn the stock market, how to do business. So it's really a big project that I really had to take in because education is very important. Mm-hmm. So when I was part of that, first signs of ego was that I said yes. I mean, of course, it's not bad to always go for the opportunities that's presented to you. But I said yes, even though I felt like I wasn't ready yet. So during my first few months trying to handle or head the InvestaLearn team, I always tried to focus on why we're doing it. So we're doing it because we want to educate, we want to help other Filipinos become financially free. Mm-hmm. But somehow in our metrics, I always look at the financials. So what I wanted was to set this financial goal that we have to achieve every month or every quarter. So even though we had a good purpose, we wanted to educate people, I still wanted for it to really generate a lot of revenue. Mm-hmm. Because it makes sense. We need money to make something successful. And because of that, things started, our decisions kind of moved towards the money side. Even mm-hmm. if we had a good purpose, we tried to look at the money first. And I was thinking, mm-hmm. I really want to contribute to the company. So I want this to generate revenue, agad, even if it's a new project. So when you look at the money first, that's when things go down because you look at other strategies that focuses mainly on the money rather than the purpose or the impact mm-hmm. for this project to the Filipinos. So I guess the decisions were kind of off because we were looking at, oh, let's do a sale so that a lot of people will buy. Instead of, you know, focusing on, oh, let's get this good educator to help educate Filipinos, or focusing on, like, we can produce free content for Filipinos. But instead of that, instead of doing that, kind of focused on the money first. And that was a big lesson for me. I mean, I'm still the head of InvestaLearn, and at least now I know that I shouldn't look at the money first mm-hmm. because that's where my ego was planted. I really wanted to contribute to the company. I wanted to be like a rock star. Now, oh, we generated so much revenue for this company. Mm-hmm. You have to parang reward me or something. So yeah, that's one of the lessons I learned that really showed me, oh, I still have a lot of ego that I have to really try to manage and control.
So yeah. What made you parang change your mind about the decisions that you're making? Like, what made you aware that your motive changed? Was there a turning point?
Of course, people will see it. If you're not genuine with your work, if you're not genuine with your business, if you're not sincere with your customers, people will see it. Even if you, let's say you give up sale, people will see that you are focused on the money. And of course, yung effect nun, the effect of that is not a lot of people tried or appreciated the work or the content that we put up in InvestaLearn. So we were lacking, of course, in numbers, in revenue, and the viewers were decreasing. Mm. So after that, I realized na, wow, this is a huge failure that I have to really be responsible for. Mm-hmm. And I tried to reflect and what can I change and what went wrong. And then that's the point when I realized na to educate isn't, I have to educate first before mm-hmm. I start asking for money. Mm-hmm. So that's why right now we're doing a lot of free content in our social media, trying to get in good partners. And we're not trying to make premium content agad wherein they have to pay to watch the course. So our focus now is more on giving free content that will inspire people, that will help them understand how to do business, how to invest in the stock market. So mm-hmm. that's the shift that happened in the past few months in this year.
It's very interesting. I know this conversation is very raw and transparent, right?
Yes.
But this is actually what a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with, because the line between serving and sales is very thin, right? So for some people, actually, you know, I've been in business since I quit my job in 2014. And what I've learned, actually, just a little mindset shift is, yes, you're right. You know, it takes time, especially for the Filipino people. Our culture, mm-hmm. We like to figure things out on our own, right? We like to make use of everything that's free as much as possible, because we're very resourceful ang mga Filipinos. And we have this kind of insight na sometimes, oh, you just want money if someone sold you something, right? In fact, actually, Renzo, when I started, I remember as a kid, not kid, I was mm-hmm. like 16 years old. So my dad sat, you know, we were on the dinner table and sabi ng dad ko, what do you want to be? You know, you're going to graduate soon. What do you want to be, you know, after you go to school? So I go, I don't know. I just want to be a rock star. You know, I was like, I just want to be a rock star. And my dad was like, you know, if gusto mo talagang umasenso, we were in the Philippines then. I'm in Canada now, but when we were in the Philippines, sabi ng dad ko, if gusto mo talagang umasenso, kailangan mong mag-aralin yung business. And in my mind, so, you know, I don't have any family members who are in business. Wala sa dugo namin talaga, you know, mm-hmm. to be entrepreneurs. And I remember I was telling my dad, no, dad, ayoko maging businessman because, like, business people are evil people and they just want your money, right? Like, mm-hmm. I grew up with that mentality. But over time, yun nga, as I educate myself and as I get mentorship from people, nag-shift din yung perspective ko eh. It took time. Kasi na-realize ko, a lot of it is very embedded sa culture ng Filipino nga na, you know, we have these notions about money, about sales, about businesses. And certainly, it's a very thin line between service and sales. So I love that you share that with us, because I know a lot of entrepreneurs can relate na, you know, do I focus on the analytics? Do I focus on, you know, revenue, right? How do you merge the two of them? And just like what you said, tama, you know, if you focus on the purpose, just keep focusing on the purpose, the strategy will follow, the results will follow. And I've seen that, you know, in my own personal life too. So you actually, you know, mentioned something. Nako, haba usapan natin dito. I really love that you spoke about, you know, how the ego is there. I remember when you said the ego is there when you're starting or when you're successful. Now, you said ego is basically when you're overconfident, and overconfidence is simply if you're confident without the proven track record.
Yes. No?
So I'm curious, kasi I get this question a lot. Paige, you know, I'm scared to get started because, you know, I need to develop self-confidence, or I feel like I don't have anything to prove to others. and I'm not sure if I'm worthy. So actually, like, I've met a lot of people who struggle na instead of overconfidence, lack of confidence naman. Mm-hmm. So let's give them a little bit of an advice. What can you share for our viewers who might be feeling a lack of self-confidence in terms of how they can develop that so that they have the courage to get started?
All right. So people, I get that a lot. And I think that's also sometimes that's also my problem. I feel like, of course, I try to remove ego as much as possible. But some of the negative effects naman, I think that I have no ego or I have no confidence naman at all. So you shouldn't be afraid to start. And in a way, you can also see ego that, why are you so afraid to start something new? I mean, if that's what will help you improve, if that's what will help you educate yourself, if that's what will give you experience, I think there's also ego in that sense na you want to try to prove something first before you try to do something. And that's what we want to avoid because it prevents you from doing something. So I guess don't look at yourself and belittle yourself too much because you have to know what you're worth. And it's always a good thing to start. I mean, if you're not hurting anyone, if you're not trying to make money quickly, if you want to do honest and sincere work, you shouldn't be afraid to start even if you don't have self-confidence yet, because that's what will build you up. That's what will help you gain experience, because if you don't start, nothing will happen and you will always keep waiting na, when will I be ready? When will I be ready? And it won't end up good if you keep belittling yourself and think na, oh, I'm not a big shot yet. I can't be here yet. But the ego is playing games in your mind, thinking na, ah, you have to be ready agad. You have to be important first. So that's the tricky thing about being not confident. It's also ego in a sense na you feel like people will care too much about you. People will think na, you think a lot about your importance as a person. Mm-hmm. But in reality, nobody really cares a lot about you. They care about themselves. So don't be afraid to start. And if you're doing something honest, you're doing something with your passion, with hard work, I think you shouldn't be afraid to start anything. Like this TV show that you're doing. Diba? So yeah.
So what I got from what you said, you know, we have a lot of the times people are hindered to get started because they focus too much on themselves, right?
Yes.
And that they think that they should be important right away or that they should be big shot right away. And basically, I think the message there is that you have to remember when you're doing honest work, if you are doing something that's honest and, you know, you're really passionate about, you're in the right heart space, it's not about you. It's about the people you're serving, right? So
yes.
For them to get started, isipin siguro nila, you know, who is this, who will benefit from this message? And it's not about, you know, like you said, it's not about me, it's about the people I serve. So, okay, another thing that you mentioned is empathy is the key. Now let's play a game, okay? Empathy is the key to what? Fill in the blank. Kasi parang kulang eh.
Okay. So, at least for my perspective, empathy is the key to everything.
Okay. And
might be too whoa, empathy. But like, from experience, of course, my job right now is also, I'm also the business development lead for Investagram. So I do a lot of business deals with a lot of CEOs or different companies. And I have to negotiate a lot. And so in business, empathy is key because you can't sign that deal if you think about your own company lang. You have to always think of the other party. And that's what you do with when you get speakers, right? So you get us, you have to be, diba? So you have to know how this will benefit the other party. And not only in business, also in life. if you have conflict with, let's say, your relationship with your boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, husband, your siblings, your friends, your coworkers, empathy will help ease things up if you have conflict with anyone, because conflict, according to this philosopher, I'm not sure if it's Aristotle or Plato or something, but conflict is usually the result of misunderstanding or the lack of understanding. So empathy is to really understand what the other person is going through. Of course, if you are in conflict with another person, you are mad, you are angry, because you have your reasons. But the other party also has his or her reasons for feeling those feelings. So empathy solves a lot of problems when you socialize, when you have conflict with business. And for example, you want to try to build your business. Let's go back to that. So if you want to sell something, if you want to provide a service, empathy will help you understand what the customer wants. Mm-hmm. So you can just make a product. Let's say you want to start a business. You can make a product that you think is cool, but nobody else thinks it's helpful or nice or mm-hmm. useful to them. So empathy helps you have this entrepreneurial mindset na this person wants this kind of service, I will make it for them. Diba? Mm-hmm. So that's how empathy goes. I also design the user interface and user experience of some of our platforms in Investagram. So to be a good user experience designer, you really have to understand the users and you have to go through their experience and understand what are they going through, what do they like, what problems do they encounter in life. So it's very broad. But I realized how empathy really is the key to everything. And I'm not taking that lightly. It really is a really helpful thing if you try to develop natural empathy within yourself.
Actually, you said is very powerful because you relate it not just, you know, in business, how it applies in business. But you also spoke about how it affects your relationships. And also, you know, my favorite part, which I did not expect, mm-hmm. is when you share that, you know, your... as a designer or, you know, as you create the platform for Invest to Learn and Investagram, you're actually tapping into that empathy as well to understand how the platform is performing on behalf of your consumer. So that's so powerful, you know, when you think about it. And in this new economy, actually, you know, because everything is pretty much online, you know, a lot of people deal with different businesses online. They buy almost everything online now. And it's been, you know, just like what you said, if you're transparent, sabi mo kanina, if you're transparent and you're honest, you know, people can, if you're authentic and genuine, people can feel that, right? Everything we do online, it's so easy for people to determine if it's BS, you know, if it's, yes. if they're just BSing you. So what I love about this is we know that in this online world, the real currency here is actually connection mm-hmm. and building, you know, utilizing empathy. That skill of empathy allows you to create connection to other people so that you better understand them, you better serve them, you're better able to create products like what you mentioned. Pero here's the thing. I know that because I've dealt with different coaching clients too. Mm-hmm. Empathy actually does not come naturally for everyone. Mm-hmm. Diba? And I'm sure you know that, as we talked about the ego a while ago as well. For some people, it's natural for them. There are people who consider themselves empaths or, you know, highly mm-hmm. sensitive and intuitive. But for some, they don't even, they're not very, you know, empathy is not natural for them. What are some practical tips that you can share with them? You know, if we have any viewers who would like to get better at being empathetic so that they can master the skill.
So for me, it didn't come naturally as well. I'm not a very empathetic person, I would say. But you have to realize it in some point in your life. If you have a lot of conflict, if your product isn't selling, if you're not doing good with your coworkers, with your office mates, then you have to check in yourself first. How do you how do you try to understand what's going on? And I don't know if there's an exercise that will help anyone develop natural empathy, but when we create products, when we create the designs for the platforms, we always try to, before we design anything, we have to sit down and we have to visualize what the other person is doing. So for example, if I want to create a learning website, I have to be the learner first and I have to try to wear his shoes and try to just go through the experience and try to imagine what the other person is going through. So I'm not sure how you can always remember to be empathetic, but if you know that things aren't going your way, there's a lot of conflict, then you should always check what is the other person going through. Why is she feeling these feelings? And just try to question yourself and be more inquisitive. So always be curious with the other person. Like for example, this interview, you can't have good conversations if you're not genuinely interested with the other person. And I struggle with that as well. I also do interviews. Mm-hmm. And the challenge is if you focus a lot on the content, if you focus a lot on the questions you want to ask, you try. I kind of forget na I have to be more empathetic. What is this person going through? So just be curious enough and always try to look at the other person, be interested with the other person. I guess that's what I would advise people to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So as I was listening, you actually mentioned a couple of tools, you know, practical things that they can do. You mentioned that one, try to step in the other person's shoe. Actually, the first one that you mentioned is you'll notice that maybe you need to practice more empathy if you notice that there's a lot of conflict in your life. So that's one, I guess, red flag. Now, you know, maybe we need to practice a little bit more empathy in our life. Mm-hmm. So if there's a lot of conflict, that's an awareness mindset for everyone here. And you also mentioned nga na, you know, you try to step into the other person's shoe and you visualize, what is this person thinking? What is this person feeling? Instead of, you know, this is how I'm feeling. This is how I'm thinking, right? Like actually, nga, you know, a lot of the times in relationships, we get, you know, conflicts because let's say pag nag-aaway na yung couples, right? Mm-hmm. It's mostly because, well, this is how I see and this is what I feel. Yes. And then the other person will be like, well, paano ko? What about me? Right? And the only way really na ma-resolve, just like what you said, is if you try to see things from the perspective of the other person and you connect that through empathy. And that's really powerful. I love how, you know, we spoke about ego, empathy so far. And I remember looking at the form, sabi ko, ego, empathy. Okay, how am I going to relate this with entrepreneurship, with, you know, and it just comes so naturally. You know, these core values, oh my gosh, we can talk forever. Yeah. I love that you're able to connect it to different areas of one's life. Okay. So another thing that I want to talk about, the third E, okay, mm-hmm. is education. So guys, actually the reason why I'm interviewing Renzo here is I found his interviews that he's been mentioning here on Facebook. And I remember being just so impressed with how I personally, as a viewer, I could feel that Renzo was really genuine about providing quality content to his viewers and making sure that it adds, you know, it adds value and it helps educate Filipinos, right? So I can definitely vouch na, you know, Renzo values education a lot. Now, this is what I'm curious because we live in the new age now, right? In the new economy. There's traditional and formal education versus modern education, or what I like to call self-education, right? I'm curious to find out your opinion. How does traditional or formal education differ from, you know, modern or self-education?
So traditional education, a lot of people would say it has a lot of flaws. There's a lot, especially in the Philippines, there's a lot of mismatch when it comes to the things you study in school and the skills you want to practice in the real life. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, the educational system it's not the best, especially in here in the Philippines. We just focus on, you know, graduate college, graduate high school. So everyone
it's the same learns. Here in Canada, just so you know.
All right. So sadly, it's the same thing for a lot of countries. But that's how traditional education is. You just go through this system that the society created for order or for just to keep the norm. Mm-hmm. So that's how traditional education is for me. I think modern education is more on, there's a lot of innovations naman in education. We have a lot of online learning right now. Of course, most of us are in our homes, lockdowns recently because of the pandemic. So a lot of people are going into online learning. So that's a good thing. And a lot of more virtual learning will probably develop soon. So basically, I think to define what a good modern education would be is to just to provide education, because people start learning when they become curious. They don't really learn as much in college or in high school, because those are just for grades, for just to make your parents happy, which is a good thing naman. Mm-hmm. But real education is education that you chose. It's one that you freely wanted to invest your time in. It's one that you really are interested in. So education can come in a lot of forms, eh? You don't have to limit yourself with any specific kind of education. There's a lot of books. There's a lot of podcasts. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of videos right now. There's a lot of e-books, audiobooks. So as long as it's education that you chose and education that you want to pursue, I think that's what good education should be. So, yeah, so I think that's
you
my...
You mentioned earlier that you just graduated when you actually landed this opportunity with InvestaLearn, right?
Well, yeah, I think after a year of graduation, I worked for Investagram Sagad. And then after a few months, yeah, they gave me the job to spearhead the project. Yeah.
So I'm curious, because we're talking about education, do you think that your formal education had something to do with helping you land that job opportunity?
Well, here in the Philippines and a lot of other countries, of course, having that degree, having that quote-unquote track record na you had formal education, you had a diploma, it helps you, of course. It helps you, it gives you a head start in life, in work, especially if you graduated from a good school. And this is the sad reality, but a lot of HR people will tend to focus on those people who had this good education. But that really helped me in terms of knowledge. Honestly, maybe I used less than 10% of what I learned from college but it depends, I guess. If you studied IT, for example, if you know how to develop code, then of course that will help you land a job in IT or to develop an app or a software or a website. But if it's something that you really chose and you really had to dive into, like coding is something that you really have to be interested in. It's really hard to do or not that into it. So yeah, I guess my education helped some ways, but I learned more from experience, from the books, from the people I learned from the people we talked to. So yeah.
I wanted to ask you that because a lot of the times, you know, because it is in our culture na, you know, you gotta go to school, you know, finish college, get a degree, and then get a job, you know, maybe work for corporate or work for the health industry. And a lot of the times we, you know, our parents really push us to or encourage us to get a college degree. But what I'm seeing actually here online, just like what you've mentioned, a lot of the times it has nothing to do with what they're doing now, right? The rules of the old world no longer applies to the new normal that we have. And that's why I was curious to find out your opinion, knowing that you just recently graduated when you got this opportunity. So it's great to hear that, you know, yes, your education did help you, you know, stand out somehow in your resume. But ultimately, you see that your self-education or, you know, your education after getting your degree is actually more valuable than the formal education that you had. So I share this because I want to encourage everyone here, you know, this is not the first interview that we're doing in this series. And in our other interviews, a lot of them have mentioned as well that, you know, their degree has nothing to do to what they're doing right now. In fact, actually for me as well, I graduated as a registered holistic nutritionist. So that's my background. But, you know, as a business coach, nothing to do with it, right? It has nothing to do with it. And I, like, just like you, Renzo, I vouch a lot of, you know, where I am now based on my self-education through books, through courses, online courses, and also through mentors. So I know that you're very passionate about education. And one thing that I want to help educate fellow Filipinos in is the power of coaching and mentorship, especially because, you know, I don't know if you can relate to this, but we grew up parang as Filipinos na parang we have to figure things out on our own, right? And if no one's there to help you, don't worry, just find a way, you figure it out, right? So obviously in your life, because you see the importance of different new ways of educating yourself, I'm curious to find out, did you have any mentors, you know, or coaches as you, you know, learn these things, as, you know, in your entrepreneurial journey?
For mentors, I'd say that our CEO in Investagrams, JC Bisnar. So I spend a lot of time with him. Of course, we work together and we do a lot of projects together. So I try to get a lot of inspiration from how he does work. So of course, he's heading Investagrams. It's a big company. I mean, there's still a lot in store. I really believe in the company. That's why I started. That's why I became part of Investagrams, because I liked how they do things. I like how the startup world works. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot from JC Palang. So I guess he's one of my mentors, and he's one of the biggest influencers when it comes to how I do things, how I work. Because I do a lot of mistakes, of course. I mean, I'm new to the industry, and it's okay. Like, he teaches me a lot, and he inspires everyone in the company to do good. He tells us, na, don't be afraid to make mistakes. We'll teach you, we'll coach you, we'll help you through thick and thin, you know. Mm-hmm. I guess I also learn from the people I interview. I also, like you, I interview business people, CEOs or founders of companies. So I make the most out of it to really be curious enough and try to ask them things about business. And I guess my mom would be a big coach and was also the first, of course, teacher to a lot of us. Because just to share, my mom is an HR practitioner. So I talked a lot about empathy, and I didn't have a lot of empathy. But when I look at my mom, she has to really care about her employees. So, and you have to really be careful of the things that she does. She's always calm. She doesn't get mad easily. So I think a lot of the empathy is coming from my mom. So yeah, those are my life coaches.
That's very inspiring. I love that you included your mom. You know, I'm a mom as well. And when you described qualities of your mom, I was actually, wow, like I could learn a lot from her, you know, to not be triggered, to really have a lot of empathy and understanding when you're dealing with other people. So Renzo, I love that, you know, I have to be honest with you, when I was looking at the form again, you know, I just want to mention, I was like, okay, ego, empathy, education, we'll just go with the flow, right? We'll just go with the flow. But I love how this turned out. And, you know, as much as I want to keep talking with you, I know that we have to wrap up this conversation. And so before we go, what is your parting message to our viewers?
So to end, I guess, of course, you're watching this because you are a very passionate and very motivated person and you want to achieve something in life, don't be afraid to make mistakes. It's a very cliche thing to say, but always try to start something new. And when you start and when you stop making mistakes, when everything is going well, that's when you realize that you're not doing anything new in your life. So don't be afraid to take risks and try something new. If you're not satisfied with what you have right now, there's always opportunities that will be presented if you do something, if you try to provide something, if it's something that you honestly want to do, and if you really want to help other people, then eventually in life, the universe will help you. Or if you are a religious person, God will help you achieve the things that you want if it's in your heart genuinely. So I guess that's my parting message for everyone.
I love that. So, you know, guys, Renzo often interviews a lot of people in his show, in his Facebook group. And if you want to check that out, we'll put the links down below. But I wanted to give this platform to, you know, to put the spotlight on Renzo this time so that he can share his story and his perspective. So, you know, if you guys love this series, make sure that you share this with your friends and your family so that together we can rise. Together we can shift the culture and we can be elevated Filipinos. My name is Paige and this is my dear friend Renzo. Thank you so much for watching.
That's it. Thank you for listening to the Deep Pockets by Investa podcast. And stay tuned for our next episode.